Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
About 18 years ago, my mother passed away from ovarian cancer. She did mainstream treatments. She did alternative treatments, but hers had gone too far. So many of us have lost loved ones to cancer, and I'm so glad to have Ty Bollinger on the program. He's the author of Cancer, Step Outside the Box. We're going to be talking about Big Pharma's influence on cancer. Hi, Ty.
Hey, Andrea. How are you doing today?
We are good, Ty. We are very, very happy to have you on the show. And I just want to start out by just telling us a little bit about what you do and how you got into, you know, into creating Cancer Truth.
Okay, sure, yeah. What I do pretty much full-time now is help people that are sick to try to get well, whether they are cancer patients or whether they're just not feeling well. My life now is devoted to helping people get healthy. And so that it's kind of an odd thing for me because I never dreamed that I would do this when I was going to college. I actually got a degree in accounting, and I have a master's degree in taxation. And I figured that for my career, I would work as a director of tax. I would work in a CPA firm and be crunching numbers for my lifetime. But kind of a twist of events in 1996, my dad was diagnosed with stomach cancer, and he died in 25 days. And that was what kind of got me working full time into researching cancer. I didn't understand how they couldn't keep dad alive for longer than 25 days, as advanced as I believe the medical system was. And from there, I lost several other family members over the course of the next 7 years. After dad died, I lost both grandfathers, grandmother, uncle, cousin, and finally my mom. And because of all those deaths, I published my book and have devoted my life now to helping people treat cancer naturally and get and stay healthy.
Well, Ty, like I mentioned with my mother, you know, she did both mainstream and alternative treatments. Talk to us about some of the treatments you talk about in your book, or what are things that people can do that you think they're not doing enough of in the mainstream?
Well, I mean, what my book focuses on are the natural treatments, the non-toxic treatments. You know, the chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, the big three protocol, are all toxic in their own ways. And so what I focus on in the book is put together some protocols and to list other people's protocols that have developed ways to treat cancer naturally so that you don't have the side effects. You don't have the nausea and the vomiting and the hair loss, and you know, you feel like a truck run over you while you're doing the treatment. And so I've got, in one of the chapters of the book, I've got the 20 most potent treatments that I have researched, and they include herbal remedies like the Hoxie treatment and SEACT and Life One. They include hyperthermia, the Budwig diet. They include hemp is an extremely potent treatment for cancer, and there's about a dozen others that it's just all natural. The thing that I focus on in the book is treating cancer with selective toxicity, and what that means is that these treatments all are selectively toxic to cancer cells. They focus on killing cancer cells, but not harming normal cells, and so therefore you won't get sick when you do treatments. You won't throw up. You're not going to be immunocompromised because of the treatment. And so I think that's the key to successfully treating cancer naturally, is the fact that these natural treatments do focus on killing cancer cells without harming normal cells.
So, Ty, what I'm going to do is ask you now the next question is, do they really work? And the reason I'm asking is that because there might be people out there listening and saying, well, you know, their doctor told them that they shouldn't try it, or that, you know, natural treatments are bogus. I want to know, you know, hearing from you, who's a cancer expert, do they really work? And maybe sharing some statistics with us, you know, sharing the stats of, you know, survival rates for people who undergo chemo or radiation versus these natural treatments.
Sure. Good question. Do they really work? Some natural treatments work very well. Some don't. Unfortunately, they all get kind of thrown in the same bucket. And so while I was literally contacted about a year ago, and the person told me that their doctor told them, that a natural doctor told them, that to treat cancer they needed to eat 3 Doritos each day. That was their natural treatment. I'm not making this up.
What?
And
that's
so
crazy.
That is quackery. But the problem is that the good natural treatments, like the herbal remedies that I mentioned, the Life One, the SEACT, the Hoxie treatment, hyperthermia, intravenous vitamin C, ozone treatment, hemp. A lot of these treatments get thrown into the same bucket with some of the quackery, and so as a result, people think that they're all quackery. And the fact of the matter is, many of the treatments work extremely well. The herbal treatments work very well. The Life One treatment, I know the doctor that developed the Life One treatment. It's detailed in the book. It's a combination of 8 different medicinal herbs. They're all cytotoxic in their own manners. They kill cancer cells, and they're also immunomodulatory. They modulate the immune system. Extremely effective. I know folks that have been cured of brain cancer, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, and the list goes on and on with this treatment. Same goes for hemp. Research has been done on 12 different strains of cancers showing that it is cytotoxic, selectively cytotoxic to cancer cells, and it also modulates the immune system. So, and this is research in Japan, research in Singapore, research at Harvard Medical School recently shows that hemp is a very effective cancer treatment. So many of the natural cancer treatments that I've detailed in the book work very well. You asked about the statistics for the big 3 treatments. And one of the studies that I quote quite often was performed at the Royal Sydney Cancer Centre in Sydney, Australia. They looked at the effectiveness of chemotherapy at a 5-year survival rate. In other words, what is the contribution of chemotherapy to people that live 5 years? They found that in the United States, chemotherapy is 2.3% effective people live 5 years. To me, that's unacceptable. That's worse than a placebo effect. So my assertion would be, when people ask, do natural cancer treatments work, I would say, yeah, they work very well. I can show you some good case studies on natural treatments and some statistics. I would ask them, does the big 3 really work? And despite the fact that you hear that chemo is 40 to 60% effective, when you shake it down the numbers and you look at the true statistics, that's not really true. Chemo is extremely ineffective because of the fact that it is not selectively toxic to cancer cells. It does kill cancer cells. I'm not going to debate that, but it also harms your normal cells. It harms your immune system because of the fact that it kills cells in the bone marrow, and that's where we manufacture our lymphocytes, which is part of our immune response.
Now, Ty, in the beginning, I mentioned the Big Pharma's influence on cancer. Talk to us a little bit about this and what you found.
Well, that would go back. How much time do we have here?
We have about 2 minutes left.
Okay, let me explain to the best I can in 2 minutes why we are where we are and why we treat cancer with drugs. We can go all the way back to 1904 and the Flexner Report. Actually, the American Medical Association in 1904 set up a council on medical education. Their plan was to rank medical schools. They ran out of money. Rockefeller and Carnegie stepped in to fund the project. Their goal was to rank medical schools that were teaching sound medicine. They put a man named Abraham Flexner in charge of this product. Flexner knew nothing about medicine. He traveled around with the head of the AMA and ranked and evaluated medical schools across the country. They submitted this report to Congress eventually, and it was called the Flexner Report, and it was what determined what sound medicine was in the United States. The year was 1910. What they determined was that schools that were teaching drug-intensive therapy were the ones that were teaching sound medicine, and those homeopaths and herbalists and chiropractors were not teaching sound medicine. They were teaching quackery, according to the Flexner Report. As a result, Carnegie and Rockefeller showered $550 million of funding to those medical schools that were teaching drug-intensive medicine. That's the equivalent of $20 billion today if you adjust for inflation or the devaluation of the dollar. And so the drug-intensive medical schools flourished, and they were, with a caveat that if they received this money, they would continue to teach drug-intensive medicine and not put any emphasis on natural medicine. That is why by 1925, 10,000 herbalists and chiropractors and homeopaths were out of business, and that is why modern medicine treats disease with drugs today. It's not because they're better. It's not because the therapeutic effects are more proven. It's because of a business alliance between the Rockefellers, Carnegies, and the AMA 100 years ago.
Wow. Ty, the information is that you provide for people is so amazing and so important. And unfortunately, we're out of time today, but you are coming back because your information is so important. And I want to talk about prevention. I want to talk about so many different things. I want to get in the name of your book again, Cancer, Step Outside the Box, for those of you listening. Also, you could follow Ty on Facebook at Cancer Truth or on Twitter at Cancer Truth News. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and Naturalist. Stay well.